Let's pray. Father, as we continue in this sweet reminder of how our lives are hidden in your Son, Jesus Christ, and He pardons us by His precious blood. Father, we know because of what was read earlier out of Corinthians and what we will even learn this morning out of John 14, that it is the Spirit of truth that has revealed that truth of Jesus' pardon and pardoning ministry to us. It is the Holy Spirit of truth that reveals the truth of the gospel to us. It is the Holy Spirit of truth who now bears witness in our souls of the truth of the gospel. Father, thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that allows us and enables us to understand what is true and what is right. What a grace. What a grace you have blessed us with and given to us. And so now, Spirit, we pray that you will help us to even understand more truth, more understanding, greater depths of God, that we may truly come to know Him. And as we come to know Him, as Jeremiah the prophet has said, that we will even boast that we know God. God, thank you for your word this morning to us. Holy Spirit, open our eyes and the eyes of our hearts and enlighten us even now. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. As we continue in our journey this morning in John chapter 14, I just want to start off by telling you one of the distinctives of New Life Church. One of the doctrinal distinctives of New Life Church is that we are a Trinitarian body of believers. We are Trinitarian. So what does it mean to be Trinitarian? Trinitarian is the teaching that God is triune. That He has revealed Himself to be three co-equal and co-eternal persons. To be Trinitarian means you believe God is and that God reveals Himself to be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three co-equal and co-eternal persons. We often use the term Godhead as well to describe them. You believe this. Amen? You believe this from Scripture. Scripture speaks of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. New Life Church is Trinitarian. Now, up to this point in the Gospel of John, we have mainly been thinking about and seeing Jesus' life and ministry. Jesus is the one who has been front and center all throughout the Gospel of John thus far, as it should be, right? But Jesus has also shared and He has taught us a great deal about God the Father throughout the Gospel of John. He has mentioned God the Father many, many times throughout this Gospel book. But in today's passage, Jesus teaches about another person of the Godhead that Jesus calls the Helper. The Helper. You know, in the midst of the disciples becoming fearful and overwhelmed at the knowledge of Jesus' soon departure, Jesus is about to leave, right? We not only know this because we know the story, but we also know this because this is what Jesus is now telling His disciples in John chapter 13 and John chapter 14. He's about to lead them. And so now their hearts have become troubled. Jesus commands them, don't let your heart become troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. A But sometimes obedience isn't so quick. And their hearts remain troubled. And so Jesus now is revealing to them greater truth of the Godhead. So in the midst of the disciples becoming fearful and overwhelmed at the knowledge of Jesus' soon departure, comes the revelation that Jesus will ask the Father to give His disciples another helper. Another helper. This will be Jesus' prayer for them. And God the Father, I want you to know this morning, will answer the prayer. Once again, we are reminded that Jesus never ceases to shepherd and intercede for His people. It's really a beautiful thing, isn't it? When you think about what Jesus is doing. The Scriptures teach us that even right now, Jesus is interceding for you and for me. He's praying for you. He's praying for us. He's praying to the Father on our behalf. And here in John 14, we will learn that when Jesus leaves the disciples and He goes back to the Father, that one of His prayers that He will pray for these disciples is that He will ask the Father to send the disciples another helper. Another helper. So who is this other helper? Who is this other helper? Who is this helper who can bring the disciples peace in the midst of their troubled hearts? Who is this helper who can bring great confidence in the midst of fear of the world? Who is this great helper who can bring great strength in the midst of times of weakness? Who is this helper? Jesus calls this person another helper, which is a very fitting name indeed. So who is this helper? If you would, let's look at John chapter 14, 16 and 17 together again. Brother Ben read this to us already. I feel we should read it again and hear it again and think upon it again. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him. And it does not know Him. But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. Our aim this morning is to seek greater understanding of the ministry of the Spirit of Truth, another helper. Can we have that as our aim this morning? To seek greater understanding of the ministry of the Spirit of Truth, who is another helper. And the first thing that we see here that Jesus says to the disciples in verse 16, He says, I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper. I want to ask you this morning. How many of you know? And what I mean by know is, I mean, you know personally. How many of you know that Jesus knows exactly what His disciples need? And I'm not just talking about, yeah, He can answer a fill-in-the-blank question on an exam sheet. I'm talking about Jesus knowing, intimately knowing what His disciples need. Because of Jesus' intimate knowledge of His disciples, and because He also knows the Father's eternal plan of redemption, He knows exactly what to ask the Father for in regards to the relationship of His disciples. He understands these men intimately, and at the same time, He understands fully and completely the eternal plan of redemption of the Father. And because of these two intersecting, infinite, all eternal knowledge that Jesus has of both His disciples and the Father's plan, He prays and asks for the Father something specific for these men. He knows exactly what to ask for them. Now, I don't want to move past this too quickly this morning. I want each of us to consider the spiritual implications of Jesus' ministry for His people before we get to the Spirit. Okay? Because right here, Jesus is telling His disciples that He's going to ask the Father for something. Jesus is called our advocate, right? Amen? You know this to be true? As our advocate, this is what an advocate does. An advocate comes alongside of us and pleads on our behalf to the Father for what we need in life. Our congregation has come to love 1 John chapter 2. And I want you to listen to what John says to the same church just a few years later. Listen to what he says. He said, "My little children, I write these things to you so that you may not sin." And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So right here, as our advocate, Jesus comes alongside of us and pleads on our behalf to the Father for what we need. Can I tell you again and remind you again of what we need before the Father? Do you know what you need before the Father? You need forgiveness. You need justification. You need righteousness is what you need before the Father. That's exactly what you and I both need before the Father. And Jesus is our advocate, comes alongside of us, and He pleads on our behalf before the Father. You know what else we need from this advocate? We need for the Father to be appeased and to be satisfied in His anger against your sin. So we need forgiveness. We need justification. We need righteousness, no doubt. But you know what else we need? We need the Father to be satisfied in His anger against us because of our sin against Him. And this is what Jesus does for us. He is our advocate. Jesus is the person who does this for us with God the Father. But notice Jesus, as the disciples' advocate, will also ask the Father to give them another helper. You see, this is what Jesus will do for His people. He will be an advocate for them. He will intercede in prayer on our behalf, right? I want you to listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Listen to Romans 8, 34. Who is the one who condemns? Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died. Yes, rather who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God. Who also, watch this, intercedes for us. Now listen to Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, He is able, Jesus, He is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through Him. Since He always lives to make intercession for them. We know the sweet hymn, "Because He Lives," right? Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Why does Jesus live? Why does Jesus still live? Well, one reason why He still lives is to make intercession for you and for me to the Father. Because we have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And we also have an accuser in the devil, who is also accusing us to the Father, is what Scripture teaches us. And what does the advocate do? The advocate goes on our behalf and pleads, "He's mine. She is mine. She is covered in the blood, in the righteous blood of me. She is hidden in Christ." And then the Father, I assume, looks out and says, "You know what? I do see the righteousness covering her. I do see it, Jesus." I'm assuming that might be kind of how the conversation goes. I don't know. I haven't been there yet. But He is an advocate pleading for you, and He's pleading for me, and He's interceding on our behalf. As our high priest, Jesus lives to make intercession for those who draw near to God. Notice it is to those and for those who draw near to God. He does not intercede for those who do not draw near to God. This is the ministry of the resurrected, ascended, and exalted Christ for you right now. Right now, He's praying. He's interceding for us to the Father. He is praying, He is asking, and He is pleading on our behalf to the Father. Jesus is helping us in time of need and in time of judgment one day before the Father. How sweet is this? How sweet is this? Is it sweet to you this morning? As you sit now and you think about what Jesus is actually doing for us, what is He doing in heaven right now? Well, we know just a few chapters ago He's preparing us a place, right? Don't you know Jesus can do many things? And He's also interceding for us. Right now, as the author and perfecter of your faith, Jesus knows what you need and how to intercede for you to the Father. What do you need right now? What do you need in your life? Jesus already knows this, and He is interceding on your behalf to the Father, praying for you. For the disciples in John 14, He knows that they will need another helper. He knows that they will need another helper. So Jesus tells them, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper." Now at this point, I have to tell you what John MacArthur and how John MacArthur explains the significance of this word, "another." You really need to pay attention to this, because this is what everything else is going to hinge on in this sermon right here. Listen to what John MacArthur says about this Greek word, "another." The Greek word for "another" is allos, and it refers specifically to another of the same kind. The same kind. He goes on to say, for example, in Matthew 13, each succeeding parable is called another, allos, in the same category. They are all parables about the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 4, allos describes other boats of the similar kind. In John chapter 18, another disciple of the same kind who was out of the same group as Peter. John MacArthur goes on to say, while in English there is only one word for "another," there is a second Greek word used often in the New Testament. It is in contrast to allos. Now listen to this Greek word. It is the Greek word heteros. Heteros. And this is where we get our English word heterosexual. It describes another thing of a completely different nature. So we have allos and heteros
This is how the Bible in the New Testament uses these words. Allos is of the same kind. It's of the same nature. Heteros is totally different. It's of a different nature. A man and a woman are distinct and different by nature. Heteros, heterosexual. Where allos, another, is the same and similar in nature. Now what does Jesus say to His disciples? He said, I will ask the Father and He will give you allos. He will give you another helper just like me. You're scared. You're trembling because I'm about to leave you. But I want you to know that you're about to get another helper just as I am. Just like me. Another helper. Allos. Whoever this helper is, he will be the same and similar as Jesus. He will be the same kind of helper as Jesus is to them. MacArthur goes on to say, this helper will be exactly like himself. A person who could adequately take Jesus' place and empower His work in them. This is what Jesus knows. This is what Jesus knows the disciples need. And what He will ask from the Father on their behalf to give them. He will ask for another allos helper. You may have a footnote in your Bible on the word helper, do you? You have a footnote? What does it say there? What does it say? Does it say paraclete? Does it say one called alongside to help? Does it say this right here? Listen to these three. Does it say comforter? Does it say advocate? Does it say intercessor? Does it say those things? Isn't that exactly what Jesus is? Right? So this another helper is the same kind of helper that Jesus is to them. It's the same. He's the same kind. But there is one distinction. There is one distinction here between Jesus and this new helper. Look at the end of verse 16. What is that one distinction? That He may be with you forever. That He may be with you forever. Listen, you got to listen to me carefully here. Where Jesus will not be with them forever, at least temporarily, Jesus is about to leave them. And go to the Father. And there will be a time when Jesus will not be physically with them. But this another helper will be with them forever. When the Father, and we'll learn in just a moment, when Jesus sends this helper to them. This helper will always be with these disciples. No matter where they go, Jesus in His earthly ministry was only in one place at one time with only the people that were around Him. But this helper will be with each of the disciples forever, no matter where they are in the world at the same time. You following this? You understand this, don't you? You understand the presence of the Spirit. So now I have to ask this question. Who is this helper? Oh, the suspense, right? The suspense. Look at verse 17. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. Verse 17.
That is the Spirit of truth. That is the Spirit of truth. Now I want you to go over to verse 26 in John chapter 14. Go over to verse 26 in John chapter 14. Let's look at this real quick. I'm jumping ahead because there's more revelation there. Amen? Aren't you glad for more revelation? John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Helper, this is Jesus speaking still, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, who could say amen to that? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Spirit to these men and reminding them everything that Jesus told them and taught them. Right? We're thankful for that ministry. The Helper that Jesus is saying that the Father will send and give to them is the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls Him the Spirit of truth in verse 17. So let me ask you this. Why would the Holy Spirit be called the Spirit of truth? Why? Why not just say the Holy Spirit right here? He does later on, right? Why does He call Him the Spirit of truth? Jesus just told His disciples that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So the Father is going to give them the Spirit in order to bear witness of Christ, who is the truth. Right? The Spirit is going to bear witness of Christ, who is the truth. The Spirit is going to teach them and to remind them of all the truths pertaining to Jesus and what Jesus said. Now watch this. And then some of these disciples right here who were listening, who were troubled in heart, who were needing to obey Jesus and trust Him, not to be fearful, not to let their hearts be troubled, but to believe in Him and to trust Him. Right now, some of these disciples who were listening to Jesus' words, some of these disciples will then write these truths as Holy Scripture inspired by the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth will not only inspire men to write truth, but will also help men understand truth, right? That's where we are today. So the Holy Spirit can rightfully be called the Spirit of truth because of what He will do on behalf of Jesus Christ, who is the truth. The Spirit of truth will be forever with them, teaching and communicating truth to them. You know, this is one of the reasons why I believe we should daily pray for the Father to fill us with the Spirit so that we can understand what is true and also so we can walk in the truth. The Holy Spirit equips and empowers us to live lives that are filled with truth and what is righteous. Just as Jesus Himself embodies truth, I want you to know this, so does the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus says, I am truth, so is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself embodies truth, even though He doesn't have a body. He's a spirit. And this is what the ministry of the Spirit does for us. He communicates truth to us. Have you ever thought about the Holy Spirit in these ways? Have you ever thought about the Spirit like this? Even in moments, even in your moments of personal trial and confusion and doubt, we should pray that the Spirit will help us to understand what is true and what is righteous because He is the Spirit of truth. This should be going on all the days of our lives. We ought to be praying and asking for the Spirit to help us understand what is true here in all of these situations in our lives. I mean, how many situations do you face daily where you just don't know the answer? I don't care what it is. We should seek the Spirit and ask the Spirit to help us understand what is true and what is righteous. But Jesus goes on to say something else about the Spirit to the disciples. He teaches them something else about the Holy Spirit in the world. Look at verse 17. That is the Spirit of truth. He goes on to say, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. I want you to know that right here in verse 17, Jesus is making a strong, strong distinction between the people who love Him. You remember back in verse 15? If you love me, you will what? You will keep my commandments. How many times did Brother Tom say that Wednesday night? If you love me, he got us even to memorize it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If! Remember that conditional particle? If you love me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so Jesus right here in verse 17 is making a distinction between the people who love Him and who keep His commandments with the world. Those who do not love Him, nor do they keep His commandments. Because see, if you remember back last Sunday and even Wednesday night in Life Group, we talked about how most people assume that they love Jesus and never really consider or really think about what it means to love Him. And Jesus right here is making a distinction. He is saying to these men, the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because it does not see Him, nor does it know Him. The promise of the giving of the Spirit of truth is for those who love Jesus and keep His commandments. And the world does not do this, so they cannot receive Him. Pretty bold, huh? Pretty bold? But Jesus goes further in explaining why they cannot receive the Spirit of truth from the Father. Jesus says they cannot receive Him because they do not see Him or know Him. Jesus says, because they do not see Him or know Him. Let me ask you something. Can you see the Spirit this morning? Can you see the Spirit this morning? Because Jesus has said, those who do not see Him cannot receive Him. Can you see the Spirit? Aren't you glad words have meaning? Because I'm about to give you the meaning of the word see here. The word see can most definitely mean beholding or observing something in front of you with your eyes. But it can also mean to perceive with the mind. To see with the mind. It means to understand something. You see, Jesus is talking about an awareness of the Spirit working in truth and in the lives of His disciples. They see Him working. They see Him giving life to those who are dead. They see Him empowering the weak. They see Him giving wisdom to the foolish. They see Him working in all of these ways and even countless more. The world, however, is blind to the Spirit. They cannot see, and they cannot recognize the Spirit's working. Therefore, they do not know Him. Therefore, they cannot receive the Spirit of truth. So the world remains in darkness. And darkness is filled with lies. Lies of the devil and lies of mankind. The world believes a lie over the truth all of the time, doesn't it? The truth is, this is one of the marks of what separates God's people from the world. We have been given and we have received the Spirit of truth.
We have received God, the Holy Spirit. The world does not have the Holy Spirit and has not received the Spirit of truth. This is why they live in a stupor. This is why they live in confusion. This is why they can't understand some of the things that are clearly explained to them about spiritual matters. They cannot understand the things of the Spirit. That should not surprise us. It is God the Spirit who does amazing things in and through each of us, the church, the body of Christ. The Spirit of truth, who is also called the Spirit of Christ, is guiding us to walk in paths of righteousness for the name of Jesus in His sake. The Spirit of truth is glorifying Christ in us. The Spirit of truth is glorifying Christ through us. He's not only glorifying Christ in you, in your sanctification, but He's glorifying Christ through your life and how you touch the world and how you interact with the world. The Spirit is glorifying Christ through you. Amen? This is what the Spirit of truth does. What an amazing reality of His presence in us and His work through us. So let me ask you this again. Do you see the Spirit of truth working in your life? Do you see the Spirit of truth working in your life? Do you see the Spirit of truth working in the lives of those in your congregation here this morning? Do you see God, the Spirit moving, healing, and teaching, and sustaining, and helping your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you see the Spirit doing that? Please say amen. Please say you do. Because if you don't see Him, you have not received the Spirit. I hope and trust that you have received the Spirit of truth. Well, Jesus says one last thing that is very sweet to His disciples. Look at verse 17 again. He says to them, "But you know Him. But you know Him." Those are four sweet words right there. Can you imagine Jesus affirming to you that you know the Spirit? But you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. Now, what is Jesus doing here? He is most definitely making a distinction between the disciples and the world, right? He is making a distinction between the disciples and the world. He says to them that they know the Spirit of truth because He abides with them and He will be in them. The world does not know the Spirit of truth, but the disciples, they do know the Spirit of truth. How do they know Him? Jesus says, because He abides with them. He abides with them. Now, a couple of weeks ago in Life Group, we had a really good discussion on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And someone asked, were the Old Testament saints indwelt by the Spirit? Y'all remember that conversation? Really good, really sweet conversation. Did the Holy Spirit indwell Old Testament saints? Well, pretty much my whole Christian life, I have believed that the Spirit did indeed indwell Old Testament saints and believers. But I did a little bit further study that night after Life Group, as I do a lot of Life Groups. You guys don't know those extracurricular activities I do after Life Group when you guys throw bombs, questions and bombs on me on Wednesday nights. So I went home that night and I did a little bit more study. And this is what I discovered. I discovered what I thought I would discover. That there are two camps of thoughts here. There are those who believe that the Old Testament saints did indeed indwell, the Holy Spirit indwell the saints in the Old Testament.
And then there are those who believe that the Holy Spirit did not indwell Old Testament believers. Now, as I sort of unpack this for you this morning, I want you to know something very specifically here. There is a difference. There is a difference between the Holy Spirit empowering men and regenerating men in the Old Testament, right? There is a difference between empowering and regenerating. We most certainly know that the Holy Spirit regenerated the Old Testament believers and even empowered judges and kings and prophets to do the work of the Lord. Amen? We know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. You cannot be spiritually resurrected from spiritual death apart from the empowering work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty plain and simple. But there is a difference between regenerating and empowering and indwelling. You see, in a nutshell, the big difference for me is this right here. The presence of God dwelt in the tabernacle and in the temple in Old Testament times. He did not dwell in mankind. This is why there's such a tremendous need for the people of God in the Old Testament to be near the tabernacle, to be near the temple, because this is where they would approach God. This is where they would be near to His presence, and His presence would be near to them. God tabernacled among His people in the Old Testament in this way. In the New Testament, and specifically after Pentecost, there would no longer be any need for the temple. We are now the temple of God. God the Holy Spirit indwells us, the church, the body of Christ. Now watch this. This is why Jesus can now send out His disciples away from the temple into all the world, because they are now filled with the Holy Spirit of God. They have now received His indwelling presence. And this is what Jesus is saying to the disciples right here in verse 17. You know Him because He abides with you and will be in you, will be in you. Notice the presence of the Spirit right now in verse 17 is only with them. But the Spirit will one day be where? In them. In John 14, the permanent indwelling ministry of the Spirit is not in effect yet. But when Jesus leaves and He ascends, and He goes back to the Father, the Father and Jesus will give the Spirit of truth to them, and He will be in them. Is this not what we have been reading and seeing in the book of Acts these last 20 days? We have seen the Spirit indwelling these new Christians and in the new church, the people of God. And He is empowering them to do great and mighty things. Matter of fact, He's empowering them to do what Jesus said that they will do. You will do these things just as I did them. We are seeing people healed. We are seeing people raised from the dead. We are seeing a lot of things going on in the book of Acts, just as Jesus said will happen. Why? Because the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is indwelling these men and women, and they are empowered by the Spirit. And we are seeing the church grow and increase, and the Word of God is increasing all the more. Every single day, the numbers were being added and added and added to the church. But notice that the disciples can and still do know the Spirit of truth, even though He is not in them yet. The Spirit of truth abides with them.
The Spirit is enlightening them to the truth of Jesus. The Spirit helps them to understand truth. Everyone in the Gospels who have become born again are all born again by the Holy Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth still causes people to be born again, and He still communicates truth to the disciples of Jesus, even though He is with them and not in them yet. But one day the Spirit won't only abide with them, but He will be in them, indwelling them and sealing them for the day of redemption. The Spirit of truth will one day will be one of the marks of the true church, the true body of Christ. This is another sweet promise from Jesus to His disciples. So I would have to say thank you to those of you who asked me the question that night at Life Group. Because just this week and over the last couple of weeks, I've been learning this. I've been studying this. I've been thinking about this in more detail. One of those things I haven't really thought about a whole lot in my ministry. But all of this truth of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, goes back to the grace and mercy of Jesus and the Father. Look at verse 16 again. Jesus said, He will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another, alos, another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. Do you see the glory of Jesus' love for His disciples here? Do you see His love? Do you see the glory of Jesus' grace and mercy and compassion for His disciples? Do you see it? They are troubled in heart because Jesus is about to leave them. But Jesus will intercede for them and ask the Father to give them another helper. Later on in the Gospel of John, Jesus tells His disciples, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go." You all are familiar with this. He tells them, "It is to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." Jesus tells them it is to their advantage that He goes away so the Helper will come. What Jesus is basically saying to the disciples is this: there is more advantage and profit for them, for the Holy Spirit to be in them, than for Jesus to be beside them. Do you hear this? There is more advantage and profit for the Spirit to be in them than for Jesus to be beside them. It is to your advantage that I no longer am beside you, but the Spirit of truth will be in you. That is to your advantage. I don't know about you. I still have a hard time grasping that truth. I want Jesus with me. I want to see Christ. And I believe this even transcends the Gospel of John, even to us. It is to our advantage that the Spirit of Christ dwells in us right now. But how many of you know this morning that one day we'll have both? We will have both. We will have both the presence of Jesus beside us, as well as the Holy Spirit of truth in us, indwelling us. But this is something that they are not aware of yet. They're learning. They're seeing this. They're hearing these things for the first time. This morning, I want us to seek greater understanding in how we live in this truth from Jesus even right now. We live in the truth that the presence of the Spirit of truth in us is to our advantage. He regenerates us. He indwells in us. He dwells us. He empowers us. He equips us. He convicts us. He imparts to us. He sustains us. He communicates to us. He glorifies Jesus in us and many, many other things, right? This is what the Spirit of truth is doing in you and in me every single day of our lives. Is that not to your advantage? Is that not to your profit? As God, the Spirit of truth, I want you to know something. We know that the Father loves us, right? Amen? One of the brothers said it this morning. We know you. We love because you first loved us. We know that Jesus loves us, right? Amen? Can I say something to you that I may have never even said in 8 years as your pastor? I want you to know this morning that the Spirit loves you. I want you to know that God, the Holy Spirit of truth, loves you. This is why the Spirit inspired Paul to write that we should not quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit with our sin. He dwells in us and knows us and desires righteousness for us. Amen? This is what He desires. Let us all seek greater understanding of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us seek to enjoy His presence in us. Let us learn in deeper and greater ways how it's to our advantage that the Spirit is in us rather than having Jesus even right now beside us. Maybe you can help me understand that a little bit further. I'm willing to submit to your instruction. I don't fully grasp that. I want Jesus. I understand Jesus is front and center in the Gospels. He's spoken of all throughout the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation. It's all about Jesus. But Jesus is saying that it is to your advantage that He goes away and that the Spirit be in us, the Spirit of truth. Man, I want to know that. I want to know what that means. In greater ways. Pray for me. And one day we will have both. We will both be filled with the presence of the Spirit of truth, and Jesus will be beside us, in front of us, around us. He will be on the throne before us. He will be with us. We will have both. But today it is to your advantage to have the Spirit of truth dwelling in you and abiding in you. Let us give praise to Jesus and the Father this morning for their great love and their grace and their mercy to us in their giving us the Spirit of truth. Another helper. Alas! Maybe that's the secret right there. Alas! Another helper. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for giving us the Spirit of truth that communicates to us truth and understanding, helps us understand things about Jesus that apart from Him we would not be able to understand. Jesus, thank You for giving the Spirit to these men that we are looking at and studying in the Gospels. Thank You for empowering them to do the work of the ministry. And to You, Holy Spirit, we pray and we give thanks for Your abiding presence in us this morning. Thank You for the ministry that You do for us and in us and through us. Help us to be more sensitive. Help us to be more understanding of Your presence and Your working in us each and every day. Father, I started off the sermon talking about how we are Trinitarian. And Father, we are. Help us to understand the working of Your Spirit in us in greater and more ways than ever before. And we pray these things because of the Father, in the name of Jesus, and by the power and presence of the Spirit in us. Amen.